If you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. The Bible says, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. By the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." I want to preach just a few minutes tonight, if we can, and God will help us, on this thought, Simon Peter's downfall. Simon Peter's downfall. We see this, and you realize that downfall and backsliding, it starts somewhere. Where does it start? We see here in Peter's life, and we look through this, we see Peter's life, it began with the teaching of the Word of God. And it was teaching by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. He would begin to teach them some things. He would begin to show them some new teaching that they hadn't heard before. A message, praise God, centered around the cross and the life of the believer. He would tell them to take up their cross and follow me. Amen. That's what he was telling them. That's what his teaching was. And he hasn't deferred from that after all these years. After over 2,000 years, the Lord still tell us, he would still tell you and I to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Amen. That's what will get the job done. But praise God, what happened is Peter is the same thing that happened to us. The beginnings of backsliding, praise God, is under the sound of the truth. It's when the truth of the Word has been given out, and praise God, we begin to defer from it, praise God. That's where backsliding begins. Amen. You say, what happened? He failed to yield to the authority that was being given him. Amen. The authority, praise God, that God had administered to him, praise God, he began to go down. He began to go back. He began to slide back. Amen. That's where backsliding begins. Amen. That's where it'll begin in your life. That's how it'll begin in mine. You know where the Bible says that God says this, and we say, He don't really mean that. He means something else. And when that starts happening, then we start backsliding. We start going away from the truth that God would have us to have. Amen. A backsliding is not going to down to the beer joint. A backsliding is not going to the wild parties. That's not where backsliding starts. You say, oh yeah, preacher, that's where backsliding starts. No, backsliding is when we get away from the truth of God, going down to the bar and going to wild parties is just evidence of our that internal backsliding that we have in our lives. Amen. That's where it gets started at. And the bars and the wild parties is just evidence of that backsliding. Amen. We've done come to rejecting the truth and going in our own direction. And it's a subtle thing. You just begin to slowly and gradually slide away from God. Amen. We need to know this because it's happening all over America. Amen. And we're being deceived and we're taking it hook, line, and sinker. They're putting the bait out there, and people, our churches is taking the bait. Amen. We're being deceived by the world. We're being told that a whole lot of these different things is all right, but it's still, if God says it's wrong, it's still we're still living contrary to the Word of God. Amen. We got to decide whose side we're on to begin with, and then we're going to have to ask God to help us to stay steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, we need to be the Lord's work. But Peter would begin to backslide. Amen. He'd begin to slide back. Evidence of the soul, praise God, that the soul has slid back, has entered into backsliding. And we see it in Peter's life. His downward steps that he takes. That outward evidence, praise God, of his backsliding.
And it was his breakup, his relation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now we always hear, we think Peter's a solid man. You know, he was ambitious. He was the first to step out. He was the first to say, you know, Lord, I'll go. But in his backslid condition, there wasn't a whole lot that he could do for God's glory. And we see where it starts here in chapter number 8 when he begins to rebuke the very authority of the Word of God. What the Lord said. You know, Peter says here he began to rebuke the Lord. Amen. And the Lord looked around on the disciples and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. He said, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Amen. When we start looking more at the things of the world than the things of God, we start taking more direction from the world than we do from God, we're backing up. We better just believe what thus says the Word of God. Amen. So we see it playing out here, and we see how God's good. Let's just go through a couple chapters here, and let me just show you the backsliding of Peter. Amen. In chapter number 9, we see how he begins to slide back with a blurred vision of Christ Jesus. In chapter number 9, in verse number 1, we see the Lord tells him that, he said, verily I say unto you, there shall be some of them that stand here, which shall not see to taste death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. In other words, he said, you're going to get to see me in my glory. Amen. He said, there's some here that's going to get to see the glory of God. They're going to get to see the power and might of God Almighty. He said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, leads them up to a high mountain apart by themselves. He's transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, So as no fuller on earth can whiten them. Amen? Brighter than Clorox bleach can make them white. Said, there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Who had the supremacy there? Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. So we see what takes place here. We see that Peter's vision of Christ, praise God, of the transfiguring of Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ above these others. Amen. He put the Lord Jesus Christ right in the same scale, in the same height, in the same matter of exhortation as he did Moses and Elijah. So what you see right here in Peter's life, as he begins to backslide, he begins to slide back, he begins to form a comparative religion. He compare his Savior with Moses and Elijah. He began to put them on the same plane. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we can't put anybody else on the same plane, on the same shelf, on the same level as the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be supreme in our life. He has to be our high potentate tonight, praise God. He has to be the one with power. He has to be the one with authority. Amen. If not, you have a comparative religion. So he's backsliding, praise God. His blurred vision of Lord Jesus Christ, who he was and what he's able to do. He had lost his relish for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a little while ago, Jesus was supreme, man. He was it. He said, thou art the Christ. He's that anointing. He's that one that we've been expecting. You're the one, praise God, we've been looking for. But it didn't take but just a little bit, praise God. We had that comparison. He said, well, praise God, there's Jesus. Glory to God for Elijah. Glory to God for Moses. Yeah, I'm glad God's there to straighten us out when we get in that predicament, ain't you? Amen. He said, there was a cloud that overshadowed them, verse number 7. And a voice came out of that cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Amen. He said, don't pay no attention to Elijah. Don't pay no attention to Moses. He said, hey, you mean we're not supposed to listen to them old prophets and the law? Praise God. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, praise God, Jesus Christ supersedes the law and the prophets. Amen. Praise God. He supersedes the law and the prophets. He comes into play, praise God, as the glory of God. And we begin to see that manifestation. The blur's taken away. But in Peter's life, there was a blurred vision of who Jesus is. We get a blurred vision of who Jesus is, young. Then we start getting those comparative religions. That the things, that other things become just as important and just as popular as our Savior. When we do that, we're backing up. Amen. Jesus has to be, He won't take us, hey, He's a sovereign God, but pray, He's a jealous God. He won't take second place. He wants first place in our lives. And when you give Him first place, praise God, hey, it's a glorious thing because then He can begin to bless you on purpose because He can. It's what it is. It's God's way, the Lord's way of rewarding us for our dedication to Him. So we see Peter, number one place, God, he had a blurred vision of Christ in the Transfiguration. And then we see that he had a pride of heart. In Mark chapter 14, in verse 29. Mark chapter 14, in verse 29. He's speaking to the Lord here. And he said that you're going to be offended before me. In verse 27, Jesus says, I saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the shepherd and the chief, which the sheep will be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. See, he laid it out for them. But listen to what Peter says in verse 29. He said, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Peter said, they may all be offended at you, Lord, but I'm not going to be offended. He said his self-inflation, he lifts himself up and he said, you know what? They may be offended, but I'm not going to be offended. Amen. We put ourselves on a higher plane if we ain't very careful. That self-exaltation where we lift ourselves up higher than we ought to. Hello? Amen. We get heady and high-minded and thinking that we're so much higher, we're so much superior, that we're so much stronger. We better be careful. Amen. That pride that we have in serving the Lord, praise God. That's evidence. Pride, praise God, is evidence, praise God, of our backsliding. Amen. When we get to thinking, he didn't hide mind and think that we have power to overcome the obstacles of the devil. I'm telling you what, we are no match for the devil. Amen. If we ain't careful, we make ourselves open for him to intrude in our lives. When we get heated in our mind, when pride comes into our life, self-inflation, lifting ourselves up, self-exaltation, praise God, thinking we're above what we ought. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, unto Peter, now listen, verse 30. He said, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Amen. He said, but he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Amen. Peter in his own mind, in his own strength, his own power, not looking for the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm strong enough to stand in here with you. He said, if it comes to it, I'm even strong enough to die with you. Amen. We better be careful, praise God, not get that get caught up within ourselves in the pride and self-inflation, self-exaltation, and lift ourselves up higher than we ought to. Amen. We see that pride in Peter, and then we see the prayerlessness in Peter. In Mark chapter 14, in verse 37, the Lord's trying to get a hold of him. He's trying to encourage Peter. The Bible says in verse 35, and said he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him, Lord Jesus. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he come and watch this and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Amen. He tells the Peter, praise God. He said, hey, that prayerlessness in your life, praise God, it's going to come back to haunt you. You're going to need that strength. You're going to need the strength that prayer brings you. You're going to need that strength and that relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to lead us along, to help us, to get us where we need to be, that God can get glory out of our lives. But Peter was, he said, to watch and pray, but he said he was asleep and he found him, praise God. You know why? Because Peter thought he was spiritually better than the rest. If we ain't careful, we'll get with pride and with the lack of prayer, praise God, we'll get the thinking that we're spiritually superior to someone else. Amen? We better be careful with that. To ever think, praise God, that we're spiritually superior to anyone. Amen? I'll tell you what, some of the most humble people is the people that you never hear anything out of. Those that, praise God, that'll get along in their prayer closet. And they'll pray and they'll seek God's face and they'll ask Him for miracles and He'll deliver them. And all you'll ever hear them say, glory be to God, He delivers again. Amen? They won't brag on what they did, but they'll brag on what God has done. But we have a prayerless life. Praise God, God can't minister. Amen? He didn't pray, praise God. He didn't pray and seek God as the rest of them did. He said, I'm praying. He said, hey, I don't need to because I've got a spiritualness. I've got a spirituality in me. And praise God, I'm superior. These other fellows need to pray. You ever know anybody like that? Amen. That's why, hey, ain't that what Job's friends done? They said, yeah, Job, you claim all these claims, but you got sin. You're just no sinner. What's wrong with you? Amen. You're just no sinner. You got sin in your life. That's why you're going through all this. Amen. You know, sometimes we just stop and evaluate ourselves before we go evaluate other people. It might save a lot of heartache in our life. Amen. That prayerlessness that we have in our life when we don't pray like we ought to. Praise God. We can't get a hold. But when we don't have a prayer life, we're not lifting up God, we're not lifting things up to Him, we're not going to Him, seeking His help. That's evidence of a backsliding. Amen? When we think that we've already attained to a certain spirituality, hey, be careful lest you think you've arrived. None of us have arrived, praise God, to the place of spirituality where we're equal with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what should that tell us? It should tell us that we need to keep praying, seeking His face, till we get to where He is. Amen? Till we enter into the manifestation of His presence. We need to just keep praying. Need to keep seeking His face, praise God. Because we need that help. But Peter, praise God, because of his prayerlessness, because of his prayerless life, praise God. Jesus said, you're going to have some struggles, boy. He said, you're going to need all the help you can get. He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we see the evidence of a prayerless life. And then we see the evidence of a nervous service. If you look at 14, verse 47. Verse 47, you see where they go to the garden to take take Jesus. And Peter's there, they've prayed, and his sweat had dropped, his great drops of blood, and his anguish of prayer. Because Jesus was 100% God, but He was also 100% man. Amen? And He prayed to the Father, He said, if there's any way possible, if you can take this cup away from me. That was the man side. But He says, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Amen? He said, not what I want, pray God, what you want, Lord. And He's there in the garden, they finish praying. And the soldiers come. You know the story. In verse 47, said one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now we know from the book of Matthew that was Malchus. It was the high priest, a nephew that he cut his ear off. Peter, in his zeal for the Lord, amen. Praise God, in an outward service, he jerked out his sword and went to do an outward work, and he smote off the ear of Malchus, amen, in his desire. Because of the lack of that inward relationship, Amen. Praise God. That private devotion, that inward devotion to Lord Jesus Christ. That nervous service, praise God, come out on him just all of a sudden, and he pulled out his sword and he tries to let his sword do the work instead of letting should have been in him do the work. Amen. I'm telling you, we're all guilty of that. Hello? Instead of praying like we ought to and doing the things we ought to and getting rid of the pride in our life and the obstacles that so easily beset us, praise God, the first thing we do, we launch out. Amen? And we try to let that nervous service do the work for us. And we see this in Peter as he lashes out. Amen? I want to say that nervous service, praise God, it won't work. It will not work. It will not get the job done. We need that service of the Lord from the inside. That devotion to Him, praise God, that He has put in there. Amen. Proving His love for us. Proving our love for Him. Amen. Proving it in our outward service for Him. Not by just lashing out, praise God, but rather by that inward devotion that we have for Lord Jesus Christ. Peter lacked that inward devotion. So he lashes out in just a nervous service, praise God, with the sword, cuts off Malchus's ear, thinking doth the Lord a service. Amen. The Lord says, hey, listen, he rebukes, put your sword in you, put that thing in its place. He said, this is the hour. Amen. So we see an evidence of backsliding, praise God, by drawing his sword. Yeah, preacher, I always thought that was a brave thing that Peter did. It was a brave thing. It could have cost him his life. They could have took him out right then. They had swords and staves. They could have beat him down and thrust him through. But Jesus Christ was there, praise God. He'd have no part of that. Amen. But we see that nervous service that he has because of lack of that something that he needed on the inside, praise God, that God gets some glory out of his life. And then we see the next evidence. The next evidence is that angry spirit. Amen. That we see in Mark chapter 14, verse 54. Mark chapter 14, verse 54. He says this. He said, Peter followed him afar off, even into the place of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. So we see the anger that Peter had. Why was Peter angry? Because he had been rebuked of the Lord. Amen. He was vexed, he was angry, he was upset because he had been exhorted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, and he didn't like it. Amen. So he had lost his temper. And the Bible says when you get in that situation, he said then he was following afar off. That's the next step in our backsliding. It's when we begin to follow the Lord at a guilty distance. Have you ever been there? Have you ever begun to follow him at a guilty distance? Because you know that you've messed up, that you broke the heart of God, that you've made the Lord God sad and you broke his heart. And so you follow him at a guilty distance. Instead of just getting it right, instead of just taking the rebuke of the Lord and the Word of God and just making things right with your Heavenly Father, rededicating your life into righteousness for Him. But he had lost his temper. He had lost his... He had got angry. And he's following afar off. Amen. He felt that he had been criticized by the Lord. In his flesh, he thought he had done right. But the Lord rebuked him. Praise God. It's not he was not sufficient in his spirit to take the correction from the Lord. Amen. We need to be sufficient in our spirit where we can take correction from the Lord. Realizing, hey, it's coming from God. I don't know about you. Hey, I've sat under some really good preachers in my life, and they've preached the Word of God, and it's convicted my heart. Amen? And I didn't get mad at the preacher. Amen? It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Word of God that was convicting my heart and showing me where I was at. Amen? I didn't get mad, pitch a fit at the preacher. Praise God. Hey, because the Spirit of God was showing me the error of my ways and the goodness His. God was trying, glory, hallelujah, brother. He was trying to reconcile me to Himself. He was trying to love on me, praise God, to get me where He wanted me to be so He could help me in the way He wanted to help me. I didn't get mad at the man of God. I didn't get mad at the Word of God, praise God. I got mad at who I was, the things that I had done. Amen. Peter got mad at Lord Jesus Christ because He rebuked him. He exhorted him, praise God. Amen. And so he is following him afar off. If we're very careful, that's what we do. First thing we do is God rebukes us, so we just quit church. We quit going. Amen. And on Sunday school, we won't go if a certain person's a teaching or certain things, because it convicts our hearts. So we just don't go. Amen. That's the first sign of backsliding, praise God. That's evidence of sliding back. Or to get in there and encourage and uplift and say, glory to God, preach on. Amen. God's glory. But he corrected him, praise God. I mean, even when the Son of God had rebuked, and the Son of God, hey, listen, he's always gracious in his rebukes. Amen. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus, He's always gracious when He rebukes us. He does it. He don't do it out of wrath. He does it out of mercy. He does it out of love. Amen. Keep us where we ought to be. So we see this, the next evidence of backsliding, praise God, was that angry spirit that Peter had. That angry spirit. So you see how it's just like stepping stones. It just keeps moving us. Instead of keeping us where we should be or raising us up, it just keeps dropping us down one level at a time. Amen. And then it leads to just open denial. Amen. Backsliding, praise God. Condition. That condition on the inside of us. Mark chapter 14, verse 71. But if you go back to 67, he said, but when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied again, and a little after they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. So we see Peter, praise God, in his backslidden condition. Amen. Open denial of Jesus Christ, praise God. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ with oaths and cursing. Amen. That's what happens when we backslid. We get down to that low point in our life. We begin to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. We deny His rebukes and His rebuttals on our lives. Even with oaths and cursing. Amen. You say, but preacher, what would have made a difference? Just obedience to the Lord. But it all started when Peter began in disobedience to rebuke the Lord, to rebuke the Word of God. When we begin to deny and rebuke God's Word, we begin that journey of backsliding, sliding away from the Lord. Sliding into a place of a dismal life outside of Jesus Christ. A place where God can't bless us, where God can't help us, where God's wanting to encourage us. But because of this new message, because of the message of the cross of Calvary in the life of a believer, amen, Peter couldn't get a hold of it. And praise God. And it was trying to get a hold of him, just like it's trying to get a hold of us. And those around us tonight. Amen. But if we ain't careful, we get in that same backslidden condition that Peter did. We backslide against the Lord. Amen. And we start taking those steps that spiral downward. Amen. Till we end up in those evidence of backsliding. where you end up over in a place that you oughtn't to be, doing the things that you oughtn't to be doing. And you wonder, how in the world did I ever get in this situation? Amen. We get there tonight because of disobedience, Lord Jesus Christ. Disobedience to Christ. Christ said, what did He say? He said, take up your cross and follow Me. Amen. Tonight we get into that downward spiral. We get into a backslidden position when we don't just take up the cross of Calvary and follow Jesus. To follow after Him, praise God. That's all He asked us to do. Amen. We can't be Him. We never be Him, praise God, but we're supposed to follow after Him. Amen. We're supposed to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to love our neighbor like He loved us. We're supposed to have a compassionate heart and love in our spirit. We're supposed to lift Him high, praise God. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Myself. Praise the Lord. We're supposed to be to operate without pride in our hearts. We don't go around and look and say, look at what I did. Amen. Everything, praise God, that's good in us ought to be magnified and elevated to Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're to have a prayer life, praise God, where we continually lift up our prayers, our supplications to Him so that He can help us along the way. So we ought to be serving Him, praise God, out of dedication, not out of a nervous service, but out of a dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dedicated our lives to Him, praise God. Amen. Not be vexed with anger in a situation where we take it out on others, but in a situation, praise God, where we have the sufficiency in our spiritual life that God can correct us and help us to walk in that straight and narrow path. He said, there's very few that be that find it, but those of us that are on it can walk it. Because God said, be ye holy, for I am holy, and He'll help us to stay holy. Amen. He will help us so that we don't end up one day in just an open denial of Jesus Christ. I was reading an article the other day and it broke my heart. But some of the so-called rock gospel groups, they were six or eight of the different big rock gospel groups that have broke up their group and they said, you know what? We've come to the conclusion that there is no God. Huh, imagine that. Imagine that. They said, we've come to the conclusion that there is no God. And some of them profess to be atheists, some of them be agnostic, some of them just be this or be that. But they turned their back on Lord Jesus Christ. After they said that they were all of this. Amen. Why? Because they backslid against God. Because God said, God's Word says specific things. And they said, you know what? We want to go beyond God's Word. Amen. We want to go beyond God's Word. So they're taking our rock and roll into a vile and a wicked place. Amen. Outside of the will of God. That's what happens when backsliding comes into your life. And you get away from God Almighty. Amen. God can't use you. God can't help you. God can't be there. God can't give you direction if you're not willing to take direction. It all started when he began to teach the people. Praise God, the precious words of truth over in Mark chapter number 8. And said he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And He spoke that saying openly. Amen. He said, this is what has to be. This is the way that it is. But what did Peter do? He began to backslide. He began to say, you know what? No, 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 Lord. We're going to change that. That's not the way it's going to happen. That's not the way it's going to be. You say, well, preacher, he's crazy. He shouldn't have ever done that. But I want to say, listen, if we ain't very careful, we do the same thing every day. Amen. God says, this is what it is. This is the way it has to be. But we'll say, well, Lord, I'm not going to do it that way. Amen. Oh me, but we will. It's the beginning of backsliding. It's the beginning of a downfall. And we just have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just stay with Him. Just keep our eye. And what He says, say yes, Lord. It may be difficult to do. It may be difficult to follow. But Lord, I'm going to do it according to Your Word and according to Your will. Because I want to be found pleasing in the eyes of a holy God. Amen. Yeah, that's what makes difference in our lives. That's what gives us our instruction. So here in just a few chapters in the book of Mark, Mark lays it down. And I've always told you, Mark is a book of action. Forthwith, anon, immediately, right now, it's happening. He said, this is what's happening. He said, we need to be a part of what's happening. And he said, what's happening is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's that most important part. Amen. And he says, hey, listen, Mark says, hey, listen, don't be like Peter, praise God. Just get in and believe God. And just go with the Lord. And allow the Lord to help you today. Don't be but God-ing. Amen. Don't be but God-ing. But say, yes, Lord. Be it according to your will. Amen. What you say, not my will, but thine be done. When he's talking to Heavenly Father. That's what we have to do. That's where we have to come to in our lives. We have to say, not my will, but thine be done. And God begins to bless. He helps us, praise God. And we don't start that journey of backsliding, going downward. Praise God, we continue those steps upward. Amen. Closer and closer to the Lord. Till one day we take that final step and step off into glory. Amen. And the Lord will just reach down in big old arm, loving arms of glory and grace and just scoop us up, pull us into His bosom, and just take us on into heaven, into glory. Amen. That place that He's prepared for us in the presence of the Lord. Amen.